today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Leonard Nacka-Skoglund was the first one. That's where the tradition started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and I am here today, not with Jim Linehan, but on behalf of him, I want to welcome our guest. We have Nicholas Nygaards joining me over the Zoom meeting. Nicholas, thank you very much, and how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
I trust you've gotten through all the essays that were due for all the people who broke the new music rules.
Yeah. They're all... I'm letting them go now. They've done.
Okay.
They've done their part. Yeah.
We are here today to talk about something that's going to be really fun. The Women's World Cup is going to begin in Australia and New Zealand. Well, we were sort of chatting about not only the World Cup, but also the music that sometimes goes along with this. And you were able to compile a very interesting mini history of some Swedish football songs, and you're going to sort of walk us through that today. Is that essentially the premise?
That is the premise, yeah. There's a long tradition of having certain, like, specific songs made for the different championships. And this has been going on since, I would say, since the 50s, when the Men's World Cup was held in Sweden in 1958.
I mean, I know that when you think of famous songs, you know, to my mind anyway, like Liverpool's You'll Never Walk Alone and things like that pop into my mind. But I wonder, did the advent of sort of more mass popular music, like, and hearing it on the radio and having sort of top 40 songs and things like that, that seemed to have some sort of impact on the way songs developed in the stands and supporter sections, right?
Yeah, it did. But those are, I'd say, different sets of songs. But I agree with you. I mean, You'll Never Walk Alone. That's probably one of the most famous football songs in the world. And you've got the Singing the Blues for the Ipswich and On the Ball City for Norwich.
That's right.
Not as as well known. As You'll Never Walk Alone, of course, but still. But that's a different set of songs. And so are, like, you know, We Are the Champions or We Will Rock You and all those standard sort of sports songs.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I want to talk about today are actually, the tradition is since, like, maybe 30 years back or something, that the Swedish Football Federation will assign a group or an artist to write a song for a specific tournament, which of course is dependent on whether Sweden is in it or not.
Right.
The women have been brilliant because they qualify for every tournament, whereas the men are struggling a little bit more. So yeah, We'll start in the 50s and we'll just make our way to 2023.
Beautiful.
And the song that actually got me thinking of this, because the song, this year's song, was released just a few weeks ago.
Is that kind of a big deal when that song sort of gets released and everybody gets to hear it for the first time?
Yeah, there's always a press conference and the news will cover it and all that. So, we will go through the rule of football success, which follows with the song. Is the song successful because it's a good song, or is it successful because the team is successful?
Ah, right. So where do we begin?
We will begin in 1958. Sweden hosted the World Cup, and one of the players, Lennart Nacka-Skoglund, he recorded a song called Vi Hänger Med, which is we're like hanging on or we're going along or something in English. And that turned out to be a massive hit. And since that was a massive hit, how did Sweden do? Sweden went to the final. Yeah, lost to Brazil 5-2, But still, that's still the best tournament ever for a Swedish national men's team.
Yeah.
So that was good. But back in the 50s, Sweden were actually pretty good. The men's team had won a bronze medal in 1950 as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, Europe in the 50s, Sweden, we were not in the war. And that helped a lot.
Yeah.
We also won the gold medal in the Olympics in 1948. So,
oh, yeah. Wow.
So there you go. So Lennart Nackaskoglund was the first one to... That's where the tradition started, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah.
In 1974, the Sweden national coach wrote the actual song. And,
really?
Yeah, and performed it with all the players. But looking back, it was kind of out of fashion for being in the 70s because the song sounded like it was made maybe in the 40s or early 50s. But it still it still attracted some interest and
yeah.
So it's good fun. And Sweden did well as well in that.
In 74, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then in 78, Sweden played in Argentina as well, but didn't do that well. And I didn't find a song for that particular championship.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But then the men's team didn't do well in the 80s. We didn't qualify for one single tournament in the 80s.
Is that right?
Yes. So that was terrible, national team-wise. So.
Yeah, although in general in the world, the 80s was a great decade for pop music. So it's too bad that they didn't qualify for any of the tournaments.
Yeah. But, yes. But the 80s is when women's football really took off. Over here, anyway.
Okay.
And the first Euros for women was played in 1984. Only four teams, though, in the finals. And Sweden won, beat England over two games. The second leg was played at Kenilworth Road in Luton, would you believe?
Oh, is that right? Wow.
The new Premier League.
Yes,
ground it's for next season.
It's going to be very charming, shall we say, this year in the Premier League. Yeah. It seems a cozy stadium.
Oh, it is. I've been there. It's,
have you been there?
It's it's different. So the women also played 3 years later in the Euros in Norway. And for that tournament, they recorded a song called Vi är tjejer, vi är bäst. And the Swedish women's team sang backup vocals. And do you know who sang the lead vocal?
Would it be Pia Sundhage?
Yes.
She's got a history with the United States.
Yes, she does.
And also, she's going to be coaching a team in this year's tournament.
Yes, that's true. That's true. She loves to like pull out the guitar and sing a song for the players. And
is that right? I didn't know that. That's incredible.
So
she was a player during the 1987 Euros for
and that song is sort of very, very Swedish. We are girls and we are the best. That's the title of the song.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's very 80s sounding.
80s. Mm-hmm.
Moving on to and back into the men's football and the men's football songs, and going into the World Cup in Italy in 1990. And this was a big tournament for football songs that were associated with the championships, at least from a European perspective, because we had our own called Ciao Ciao Italia, which was very well, Sweden went out after losing 3-1 to Brazil and to Scotland, and the third game to Costa Rica. We couldn't believe our eyes. So that was the Swedish one, but there were a couple of others. Un'estate Italiana, that was the official song for the tournament. Gianna Nannini, a big Italian star at the time, and this was co-written by Giorgio Moroder, would you believe?
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Wow.
But perhaps the most famous song from 1990 would be World in Motion with New Order. Well, some of the crowd are on the pitch.
Yeah, that's a great one, very well known. And I can't remember who won the World Cup in 1990, although I know from reading historically it was one of the lowest scoring tournaments that was ever held. It was ultra defensive, which is fitting for Italy, I guess.
It is, It definitely is, yeah. England went out on penalties against West Germany, and West Germany beat Argentina in the final.
In the final, okay.
Yeah, so, but still a relative success for the English team coming all the way to the semi-finals, so, but Sweden went out, and that's, Swedish songs didn't fare that well in the charts. Had Sweden been in the semis, it might have been the biggest.
A bigger hit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I'm building up a little bit about this, the rule of football success, because in 1994, it's in the US, the World Cup, I'm sure you remember. England didn't qualify for that one, but Sweden did. Mm-hmm. And three solo artists were given the mission to write a song for the tournament, for the Swedish team, and they, in their own right, they were all pretty big by Swedish standards. They all did songs in Swedish, and they wrote this song, När vi gräver guld i USA, which is when we go to the US to dig some gold. And it did all right when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But as the tournament progressed, the popularity of the song just grew and grew and grew. And Sweden went to the semis and were beaten by Brazil. Brazil were far better, so that was okay. And then Sweden won the match, the bronze match, and 4-0. So they were heroes. And on the flight back to Sweden, these three gentlemen were on that very flight with the players.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So there's some footage of of that, and there are quite a few drinks involved. Once the plane landed, they had arranged this sort of greeting. So they built a stage in one of the bigger parks in Stockholm. So the players went directly there with the artist as well. So me and my mates, we thought, let's go down to Stockholm. So we took the car, went down there. It was like, I don't know, 40, 50,000 in the park. And the players went up on stage, and we can all celebrate them. And the artist performed the song, of course.
Oh wow, that sounds really great.
Oh yeah, that was brilliant. And you could see how many drinks they had had on the plane. Some of the players were absolutely hammered, but they'd So that really sort of cements the whole idea that if the football team does well, then the song will follow, sort of.
Okay, I love it.
If it's not too terrible. And I should say that as well. I mean, many of these songs are quite, they're not the ones that we would listen to normally, but they will make you like hum along, although mm-hmm. you may not want to, if you know what I mean. It's one of
them. Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yeah, so leaving the World Cup in the US behind and actually coming back to Sweden for a 1995 World Cup for women. The Swedish Football Federation tried the same sort of recipe for having three female solo artists doing a song. But I hadn't heard it before, and it didn't do well. And the Swedish women, football-wise, didn't do well. So that's all went together, unfortunately. But that's the way it is. The year after, in 96, I've included a couple of tournaments where Sweden were not qualified. These are the men's then, of course. In 96 and 98. In 96, the Euros were in England. So we would have loved to be there, but we didn't qualify. But one of the most famous football songs in England, I suppose, along with World in Motion, is from this tournament called Three Lions Football's Coming Home. And mm-hmm. it's played, always when the English football national team is playing. And that's Badiel Skinner and the Lightning Seeds.
The Lightning Seeds, right.
I love the Lightning Seeds.
Yes, me too.
Although this song may not be Ian Brody's finest hour. I'm just blaming Badiel and Skinner for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and then the World Cup in France in 98, Ricky Martin did La Copa de la Vida, which was a huge hit in Sweden in 98. Yes.
Oh, was it
Sweden
really?
Weren't in the tournament at all. No.
Did not make the tournament.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of like that song. It's catchy and it's all right for a football song.
Break right there from Nicholas's countdown of Swedish football and football songs, and we're gonna pick it back up tomorrow and begin right fresh at the 2000s. So make sure you download tomorrow's podcast and listen. I want to thank Nicholas very much, and I'm going to tell everybody that we're going to put out a playlist with all the songs that Nicholas compiled, including some that didn't get featured in the podcast. And we will share that around with everybody after we get tomorrow's episode in the can. And hope you guys are enjoying it. And I look forward to picking up with part two tomorrow. We are going to go out today with the aforementioned song featuring the Lightning Seeds. Football is coming home. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
We're not creative enough, we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, it's all getting back, it's all getting back, it's all getting back.
It's coming, football's coming home, it's coming. The score, they've seen it all before. They just know, they're so sure that England's gonna throw it away, gonna blow it away. But I know they can play, 'cause I remember three lines on the shirt. Jules Rimet still gleaming, 30 years of hurt.
Sneers, but all those are so near.
some of the players were absolutely hammered.